We are officially going to call this meeting to order. The time, Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
All right. Member Brooks.
Present.
Member Gaines is absent. Excuse. Chair Lerman.
Here.
And also in attendance, Commissioner Platnick.
Hello.
And Commissioner Underdog.
Here. All right, good. So before we get started, open to any matters from the public for items other than the agenda, and certainly when we have the agenda presentation, there'll be opportunity for the public to join in, and I'm looking for nice input from everybody in the public. Thank you.
Thanks for coming, public.
So if there's anybody, if there's any other matters besides on the agenda, please speak. Okay, very good. All right, so we are going to review the designs of the Lakefront Park. Just to kind of remind everyone, we had the town hall meeting about a month ago or so, mm-hmm. something like that. We've had some discussions since then here at this committee. We've had lots of community input. We've taken into account the historic perspectives of the park, the physical perspectives of the park, how it's used from different angles. And so that was all provided as input to the folks at Altamanu. And from there, they're going to show us tonight, first reveal of their thoughts and ideas around what this park could look like. So I'll hand it over to Lisa, and you take it from there.
Well, I'm going to hand it right over to Altamanu, John and Josephine. I feel like we're best friends. I'm just going to call you by your first names now.
Yeah,
it's like family. I guess it.
We're glad to see you.
You too. Thank you for coming out. Not too low. We'll fall asleep. There you go.
Are we good?
Perfect. Thank you.
The door open or closed?
You can close it, please. Appreciate that. It's not locked, right?
I'm glad to. Sure. You'll be popping up.
Sometimes it gets loud.
Popping up and speaking up close.
All right.
All right. We've been working diligently on this, Astor and West. The last meeting, we looked at the history. We talked about local versus regional dialectic that goes on, brief analysis, potential projects, and then most important, we listened to you, and what came back to us was this park is for all of Glencoe. These were the potential projects at the time, tennis court replacement, playground, potential regrade, ADA compliant pathway, and this is what you gave us. So it shows how so excited you were, but also how involved people feel about this park and how important this park is to the community, to all of us, and it is to us as well after being working in it.
Can you go back 1 second on that?
Sure.
They want to read it, I think.
Would you like to read it?
This is what we...
I'm a slow reader here, so...
It was near minutes. This
okay,
is all
so
the same
that,
thing.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah. That's kind of what people said. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. So tonight, to look at the aesthetic of the park before we jump in and start making suggestions on how to change it, we actually talk about this a lot, uncovering and enhancing the spirit of place somewhere, and obviously the way you talk about it, the crown jewel, the treasure, the gateway, etc. Historic importance, again, more information, barriers in the landscape, and proposals from the absolute ideal to more minimum proposals. Drainage, a look at potential materials right here, and potential costs, so there's a lot, and I've tried to keep going. The lake, the landscape aesthetic, you know, we look at this park, to us there's many clashes in the park, and it's very much part of the naturalesque or English tradition. Rather larger scale.
There you go.
But it's beautiful, but it's completely artificial. You can see here in this how the woodland in the background, as it becomes farmland, you divide it up into hedgerows. Okay, so you've got a lot of habitat remaining. But this is what happened. This is where it all comes from. In Gaelic, it's fuadh na naol, or the gale, the eviction of the gale. Thus, probably people who founded this place probably came here from Scotland. It's the introduction of sheep. When you have tenant farmers, they cause you all sorts of problems. You have to drag rent out of them, and you're worried about what sort of crops they're going to grow. But you can release thousands of sheep with just a few people to take care of them. So it flattened the land. who took out the hedgerows, and sheep eat just about everything. So you get mature trees in a grassland. And then Capability Brown and others turned it into an extraordinary aesthetic. But notice mature trees, open grassland. So here, and then the importance of the park again. From the very beginning, it was to be linked back to that town center. And here a reminder, Jens Jensen, 1912, showing Park Avenue going all the way to the park. So rather than going down Park Avenue, we didn't do it because it's compromised, because when you come around the corner, you get the full blast of the tennis courts. Not quite the romantic naturalist look. So we're looking from Hazel. So you go from the, it's a long stretch, and one of the commissioners asked us to look at this idea of strengthening that link again, but it's a long way, it really is. Anyway, you've got these walls of houses, beautiful houses, and then you come here and it opens up to this extraordinary plot of gorgeous trees. And you've got pre-settlement oaks, which is just so fantastic to have these. And when Chris is actually waxing poetical, he talks about maybe some of these saplings were there at the time of the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
Oh. I have said that, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
you don't realize how poetic it really is.
Settlement oak, before Glencoe was settled.
Yep.
Before Westerners were here.
It goes back before Glencoe, it goes back to Potawatomis when they were living here, and you had French trappers and God knows what. Some of those trees were already growing. And Lisa's talked about getting people under these trees, and they're gorgeous. And they're sort of like frozen time that need to be preserved. And then, of course, you break through the veil of trees and you get this. So absolutely fabulous park, extraordinary sense of place. And you've got this coming up. You're going to be 150 in 219. This is actually the moving of a tree by the park district.
Amazing.
1940. Chris is dying to do this again.
just remember what the labor rates were in 1940.
Yeah. By the way, was that at the park district or school then?
They probably make 10 cents an hour.
Because you don't know.
I have a lot of experience moving
on. You do.
Move over to the chipper.
Spencer. So here we are with what we call a conflict of styles. Because you've got this set in the naturalesque park. And one of the commissioners gave us an article where Peter Kantz is quoted. He's extremely well known and a planner and a park designer. A good park should allow you to both see and walk through it. In many new parks, I feel like a victim of planning, forced to navigate an obstacle course just to get through. So, one of your main entries into the park. Have a look at the barriers right in front of you.
Yeah.
Well, you show it like that.
You go into this jewel in the crown are a series of barriers of different sizes and shapes and colors. Not the inviting entryway that we talked about. And we feel strongly that this may have looked good on paper. And often people design on paper, they get a nice pattern, but it doesn't quite work. And then right beside it, you have this. And you have it from the other side. It certainly has a huge impact. Now, at the community meeting, someone spoke up and said, well, what can you do about this? And maybe we should get rid of it. At the time, we remembered our battle scars from other parks where we suggested removing tennis courts. But since we've worked on this park, the spirit of the park has had a greater and greater impact on us. And the intrusions that were made on this park seem more egregious. And that you talk about this being the precious park, it's part of your history. It's really part of the community, and yet we have this. So it's really jarring. Just to give you some background, NRPA recommends one tennis court per 2,000 people.
Incredible.
Glencoe's population, 8,914, equals 4.45 tennis courts. There are 11 park district tennis courts, besides all those private ones, and etc. More than double the recommended number, but we're also aware that for some people it's important to have these tennis courts by the lake. But is there a higher plane we should be stretching for? These are just more facts and figures. You can see, compared to all these towns, you've got much more per capita. Well, it's 1.27
per thousand.
Oh, sorry.
And these are all points.
So at least 3 to 4 times more.
Yes.
On a proportional scale.
Two.
Oh. Right.
Okay. So let's see that basically all the barriers are up here. They're all concentrated in one place. So we started to dream. We said, well, what would happen if we really dealt with these? And also, something else that's come up has been the rain spotting, as we call it. So it's like if you spread flour on the ground in a rain pattern, you get this. And there are no real defined spaces within these gorgeous
strips.
We're filling it all up. So the ideal, and hold on to your hat. That's today, potential. So the curvilinear pass you talked about, opening up the corners, making inviting entryways, the path along the lakefront redone, and the tennis courts in this scheme are removed. Now, because there's a reservoir underneath, there'll be no trees, but there could be certainly shrubs, grass, mounds. Also, a lot of the smaller trees are taken out.
They're just relocated, correct?
Yes. Yep.
Relocated, absolutely. Yep. Wouldn't agree with that. But you can see what
it's
we're trying
park.
To do.
More in this park.
Mentioning Jensen, this is something he would do. So he creates a space, puts something in the middle, and as you walk around, you get all these different aspects to that space, which you can't get if you've got trees everywhere. Also, you get these lines that actually give you view corridors all the way through towards the lake. So it's not just planting trees everywhere, there's a lot more to it. And then, of course, the ADA path. And that was to be on that side of the park.
There we go. Little loop.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to look at the park in detail. These are just kids love mounds. Everywhere we've ever done a mound, the kids absolutely adore it. If you want to put mounds on structures, you can use something like this in Reggie Daly Park, but we're not suggesting the heights they went to. But also, it could be an extraordinary space that you look at those trees. Completely different impact.
Great spot to watch the fireworks, too. Just saying.
Wow.
Great spot to watch the fireworks, also.
That is something people talked about, and you'd be able to do that more so in this park if we started looking at those spaces. But then, of course, we went to a more moderate intervention, and that's the two tennis court option, full size courts. You've still got these curvilinear lines. You've still got most of those spaces. You will have that impact on the north side of the park. So this is one of the schemes where the tennis courts are kept. Pop in anytime you like.
Hard to
know when to speak.
Yeah, we could talk about a few elements that are in there. Maybe you can point to them.
Yeah, this pointer isn't working too well. Well, we've got entry plazas in each corner, really defining it.
The tennis courts, by being shrunk into two, gives a bit more space on the east side. So we've kept the line of the south and west. so we have a little bit more on the east. Sort of the brown path you see is the one that comes in, that's sort of that ADA accessible one. It's a little bit narrower than, we've made all the paths 6 feet long. This one is 4, because we need to have more width. We've created some sort of widening pieces where we can put picnic tables. So that
we're about to walk around the park, so we'll be.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, then in this one, in this scheme, we do not have a playground per se, but we've added 3 locations where there's play elements spread through the park. So children would play with one and run to the next one.
We show it in more detail.
Yeah, okay.
Could you just tell us what an entry plaza is?
Okay, we're going to show. Will I skip to the entry plaza?
You mentioned it, so
Okay.
With you, actually said that there's no invitation at the corners, right. And we've got signs sitting facing out rather than welcoming you in. And what we like to do, and it's straight, Jensen did it as well, open your arms to bring people in. Then, and Frank Lloyd Wright did it too, you compress people, show them a place to go, and then you open up the space again, so it becomes much more experiential.
But it's also a place to gather, a reception space. It's like your foyer in a house.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it works on different levels. You see it from a distance. What's that? You get closer, you see it's welcoming you. You go into the space and you pass through that entryway. And we'll come back to this, but this shows sort of a different graphic showing the potential of taking out the tennis courts and making this another day. Josie, would you like to say anything about this?
Just the graphic sort of without all the green stuff on it, just to understand the patterning of the walkways, how they curve and sort of go to meet the parking areas at intervals. So people can come in at different points. And then where the tennis courts are now, there's a square which would show you the imprint of what that would look like. And the squiggles on top of it is sort of mounding contours. So it could be one or the other. The 3 circles are those 3 play elements, or this amoeba shaped by the tennis court is a playground. So it's either or. So they're both plans superimposed for you. You could do both if you want to.
Imagine, what would you imagine the height of the mounds would be?
Oh, very low.
3, 4.
Okay.
Yeah. For the little kids, like Randall playground.
Similar to what they have at the Westfield Old Orchard in the center, that they have these little mounds for the younger kids, something like that.
I was in Minneapolis this weekend. They had similar things, but the mounds were a little bit bigger, right in the middle of town. It was like this.
We'd love to do really big mounds, but the concern was,
but these are bigger,
was a gentleman
but
who said he didn't want his views.
Something like that.
He didn't mind trees and canopy, but he didn't want anything.
Kids complain as much.
Coming into that sideline. But, certainly explore. So we're going to walk around the park in the proposals. This is the northwest side. And this is what we're talking about, that you push people into the park, compress it, and then open it up again. And it's also a place in the other direction. You can see how it's used. Now, it's much more urban, but very, very popular. And without benches, same thing, and you give a destination. So you're opening up, you're compressing, opening again, and you've got a destination for the distance. This is it today. Well, actually, earlier in the year, and this is the recommendation. I did that too quickly. So you got that sign straight up against you.
Hold that, for a second. That's interesting.
Yeah. So we are, the shapes are to pull you in. You get a compression here, and then you've got a focal point in the distance to bring you on. You're surrounded by these low seat walls, which you advised us to look into the dry stone walling that you see around town.
Would you recommend that color there? Because that's kind of, hey, you're almost at the beach, right? Is that?
It's a bluestone color.
Yeah.
I think we have it over here.
Sturdier material.
But it's not bluestone.
But it's not
bluestone.
Right.
Yeah.
Pretend bluestone-ish.
It's far more durable.
It is, but it's extremely durable.
Ah.
Out of Wisconsin. Ooh. And it's not as expensive as granite and a lot of the other papers.
And can you do that kind of with a blue color?
That's it.
Oh, this is it. Okay.
Yeah, don't.
It's a little kind of dark.
The lights are off, too.
A little dicey, yeah.
Wow.
We've used it before very successfully. And then local stone. And then donor opportunities, both some sort of sculptural feature in the park. Oh, I should point out, too, we're introducing things like red and yellow dogwoods to give draw the eye and to bring more color in. But here's a donor opportunity. You could have areas in the plazas where we could actually cut into the stone.
What we've done in the past is the drives that are paving on a slab that's perforated, but that way you can pop them out as donor opportunities become available and put the engraved one by being a series of ones. So it doesn't have to happen up front.
I mean, and you don't have to use stone. It could still be concrete.
Mm-hmm.
And we've a lot of other materials to show you. But the stone, it could be almost anything sandblasted into these pieces of stone. Mm-hmm. We did a second one, just to give you an idea. And slightly different. Curving walls, compression, places to sit, again, something in the distance. And just the two. Oh, and this one on the left shows those curvilinear pathways in the distance.
Can you go back 1 second?
One more.
So if we did something, we'd have to work on that light pole right there.
Yes, electric pole. We've already cooked that price.
Okay.
Which is not unheard of when you to bury those.
Yeah.
Maybe your friends in the village can do something since they.
And don't forget, there's another one up the other.
Yep.
Existing north side with the fence. We can get a certain amount of twisting into that. And you come to the plaza on the northeast side. This is it today to remind you. And now.
Would you have to tear out part of that concrete sidewalk?
You could.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yes, most of it. I think.
A portion of it, maybe?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have all of it coming up.
Yeah.
These are the ideals.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So again, the idea of opening up the arms, giving you a place to sit, saves Chris on maintenance because it's stone. Potential of a donor plaque are just announcing all your wonderful commissioners.
We're going to need a donor plaque.
In this, the tennis courts are not gone, so they're still in the rendering. And this one is a squared off version of something similar, reducing the amount of pavement.
And your plaque is on the right side.
Oh yeah, the plaque is on the right. So. This, we have sort of small natural stone, and then the boulder is incorporated into it to make something dramatic at the end, and then a plaque set in. And just an example of another park, Mills Park, where we did more signage that we felt was more in keeping with the park as small. So, welcoming at least. Mm-hmm. Would you like to?
John and I walk past in the lakefront path quite a bit, look for that place to put an overlook. And the more we talked about the issues of the bluff being a bit unstable and seeing the sidewalk, how it's beginning to go down, we thought maybe at this time it would not be a good idea to try and build a massive deck hanging over the bluff. But there was definitely a good idea. So we looked at where the locations were. There were natural openings through mature trees, and it was either at sort of this end, the southern end, or the next best place was sort of where the playground is now. There's a natural opening there. It's also sort of the main entrance to the park, you find, where the most activity takes place. So that big oval is a deck of composite material, preferably. It has a couple of steps that go down to the path, but it also has the ADA access path that sort of comes up to it on one side and goes back down, so you have ADA access to it as well. Only, you know, a foot off the ground, but enough to elevate you and give you that platform. We also talked about maybe having smaller ones that could be on the bluff side. And maybe not, but something like this, much less intrusive, maybe a couple of these pods elsewhere, much smaller scale than the big oval.
And then the play elements in the landscape. So we looked at some of the suggestions that were made. Lisa sent us these images, the idea of these sculptural pieces.
Is that Hillary?
Mm-hmm. It is Hillary.
She never thought she'd see the light of day.
So imagine this in green, set amidst the trees, not blue. So it really becomes a sculptural object in the landscape. And similarly with these, we've used these before, they're incredibly popular. They can be ADA accessible.
They are ADA accessible.
And you can pack it in a whole bunch of kids. Same with the swing set up top, so it's not just one kid, it's a group of children. And the spinner here as well.
So they're just some examples.
Right, yeah. There's thousands. And then heading more to a nature-based look, these boulders, and particularly the webbing, works for whether it's a 2-year-old or 8-10-year-old, mm-hmm. popular.
Thanks.
And potentially some form of treehouse. And then?
The other option is just a playground 2 to 5 with the two swings in it, located in one location. Or you could have both. But we thought the idea of sort of having the children use more of the park could be interesting, instead of just being localized in one place. Or maybe the smaller kids have the playground but the other elements are for the kids.
So down to the southwest entry. Here it is today. A beautiful elm directly behind it, or close to it. Mm-hmm. So similar shape and pattern again, and creating an opening to draw people in. And in the distance, those red and yellow twig dogwoods give a color field without blocking the views all the way through the park. In the southeast entry, this is where we got real problems with drainage. It flows across here, misses the catch basins, and goes down the hill.
Barriers.
Plenty of barriers. Mm-hmm. And that's the way the water goes.
Yeah.
Right. So raising the level in that corner, and again, opening it up. This time it's just concrete, no stone.
Just to show you an example of what it could look like, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Matching very closely the rock walls to the right. So again, trying to create a welcome, bringing you in, and also giving you a place to sit.
In terms of where would the water go? You said you would.
Well, there's one of the issues is there's a catch basin just here. Uh-huh. The land slopes away as much, but the water doesn't get to that catch basin. So the idea would be to try and raise some of this ground level, regrade this wall, and then focus things more towards that catch basin.
We'll probably end up adding a few, a couple at least.
Yeah, we'll get to drainage.
During mining. Oh, okay.
on the two, and the major difference is tennis courts.
And an extra path.
And here's drainage. What's going on?
We think.
You've got a permeable layer on top. The water soaks into it, but it can't go anywhere. You've got clay and glacial till below it. Pretty standard in this area. And what happens is it gets heavier and heavier and heavier, and it's pushing. So it's the law of gravity. And then you get the slumping, where pieces of this will literally go down the hill. So you're seeing the pressure on the staircase, on the back of the beach house, those small cracks appearing in the path. Preliminary recommendations from our engineer is to reinforce the toe of the bluff and to add wick drains. So that this is, again, the ideal. There are other things we can do. Wick drains carry the water really quickly down as quickly as possible to the base of the hill and release it to reduce that weight. As you can see, it relieves water pressure acting on the face of the bluff. Well, we've got reinforced twice, and then also improve existing storm sewers and help carry away water from the bottom and limit infiltration.
Would the wick drains bring the water right to the beach level?
Somewhere down there, yeah. As quickly as possible. Now, we can certainly work with some of the catch basins you do have, but probably need to have more. This is a major project.
That's when we're talking about the bluff. We're doing the bluff evaluation, right? And we said that would be a big project. That's what he's talking about. But he confirms what ACG saw, the issues that were, they confirmed that issue. So we know that's, you know, something we have to deal with within the next couple of years.
Your last bullet there about limiting infiltration is the most surprising thing, because I hear a lot, the best thing to do to manage stormwater is to improve infiltration.
My first reaction was to do that exactly. And we also drew up schemes of having a pond in the wettest area. But the engineers didn't, because of the soils, they didn't agree. And through this area, there are seams of sand and then mixed in with glacial till. If you're on top of glacial till, the water's not going to infiltrate, as you see in this park for months of the year. And in fact, all in this neighborhood, West Park almost disappears too. Same issue. And this is a moraine, so it's not a dune. If it was a dune, we'd be grand. It would really drain. So unfortunately not. Some suggestions for interpretive signage. You can certainly have things like you have there now, but this, we thought the shape was all nice. Again, winter color, which people asked for. And a butterfly station. Come on, Chris.
Ooh. That was my idea.
We want a butterfly station. Yeah, it was.
Are you going to speak?
See how he just puts me on the spot? So there's a national initiative. There's a national initiative where communities are registering that they have like butterfly way stations, and people can go there and count butterflies they see and register them through a national organization. The idea is that butterfly habitat is disappearing through just land cultivation practices, farming. It's really, when you really read about it and you learn about it, it's amazing that they've survived it all. And so the butterfly station would basically bring Lakefront Park onto a national registry and, you know, identify the fact that the park district is, you know, trying to steward the environment and take the risk of planting some milkweed out there and some stuff that may not aesthetically be as exciting as, you know, annual flowers, but will definitely help the environment and the butterflies. So
they like zinnias.
Yeah.
Zinnias,
so you get some color. Last year was the worst year ever for monarchs. They will truly disappear if we don't change our ways. Pathway materials, you asked us to look at that.
We'll have show and tell in a minute.
We're going to have show and tell. We've examined all sorts of different things. This is really your territory.
Yeah, is that the last slide?
We go to this. Different types of granular material.
I think we should turn the light on and go over there.
So you know how skeptical I am, and they have sold me on this, so I just want to start with that.
I'll do red and white.
You know, that's okay. More continuous use than my device is seeing last
time. It is, it's like science class.
There's
something. Get fun.
You wanted to look at the materials that were not concrete, not asphalt. Could be permeable. But after looking at all the permeable stuff, I'm not sure that's the right route to go, because we wanted to see what's out there anyway. So, to sort of the high-end material was at the reception areas at the corners of the entries. So this is what John was showing you, which is a stone, cheaper than granite, much more durable than bluestone, but it has that feel. And we were thinking sort of that aesthetic of East Coast parts, I guess, which would be English style. They often use a lot of bluestone material. And we talked about how we could engrave this. We definitely put our papers on that, though.
Is that a stone material or is it a man-made material?
It's a stone material.
It's nice. They cut it out of the earth.
Yeah,
it's
and there's a limited supply of it, but it does.
Beautiful.
It is.
You just said you put it on a slab.
On a concrete slab. Uh-huh. If we don't, especially in the park, even most, you know, we do streetscapes as well, we don't eventually start subsiding. No matter how well your subbasins are created, tree roots get in there and start to walk.
Or your garbage truck takes a...
Somebody takes a wide turn and you end up with a tire track in it that you're fighting for years.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I was understanding what you were saying.
So the slab gets holes drilled in it so it still will permeate water through it, but it's basically a sidewalk.
And also because we prefer not to do a mortar joint, because they tend to pop and freeze and dolls and collapse, so we prefer to set it on sand. And to do that, we'll put a fabric so the sand doesn't disappear on the holes, but the crystal drain is not good. But it's, you know, you can repair them easily, take one out if it breaks on sand.
So they're okay in the winter time in the different temperatures?
Absolutely, they are. This stuff is tough. It really is.
So then we looked at, you know, what about the lakefront path? And somebody said brick. And we thought, well, brick, personally, we find it too domestic for a park. But it goes nice with blue. But
it's actually, isn't that the North Shore blue?
Wanted to go with the red. This was the one that we liked. Yeah, it is the North Shore blue. Recommended that in the next. So then the path, the lakefront path, and potentially all the paths around the park. Although at the moment, you know, we're thinking the north, south, and west are concrete. If you want to spend more, you can certainly do that. So what could the other path be made out of? So we looked at decomposed granite, and it's a similar color. Also, it could be a different color. This one is a granite that comes from Wisconsin, and it has what's called stabilizer.
Andrew must have a closer look there.
It can be ADA accessible with high maintenance. Mm.
So that's out.
Oh, I'm just kidding. Put that right back on.
Move it right along.
Proprietary stabilizer that makes it harden with water.
Yeah, it's compacted.
It softens with water. And erosion stuff get in there, and kids can scratch through it. So eventually, you have to, you know, rake it, roll it, wet it, and you have to do this.
So it's in some ways like, like pathways. Well, you might not know the artists of the Green Bay Trail are like stone with like a.
Yeah, but they don't have a binder.
They don't have a binder in it.
Limestone is a little different. We try not to use too much limestone, preferably, especially around plants. The pH changes too much.
It's soft like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, thumbs up. So then, they do provide granite chips with a resin, which is more stable. But the problem is, not the problem, the difference in the look is that you have to take the fines out. So you don't get this look. Instead, you get this look.
Everyone can have
paper rate.
Just the top?
No, no.
Is he touching your stuff? He shouldn't be, right?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, no, he's okay.
I don't even hand that to me.
It does kind of look like a granola.
And you can, that's one manufacturer that provides their own stone. It tends to have a profile like that.
To be
the
same.
It's like granola.
Yep.
And it has to be within a certain size range.
You're getting sent
because if not, it's not really accessible anymore.
No.
They are all porous. Which was what we were looking for.
I think you should ask one of the commissioners to do it.
Yeah, I will.
Okay, let me do it. I'll do it.
You'll do it?
Okay, so what are we doing here?
Well, hang on.
Is he drawing pictures of
here? That would have a porous subbase.
What is that?
To make it stable enough, we have to put a fairly substantial geodesic layer.
You go
nuts. Pay attention.
Going on ever, or just to keep it from.
Which is
all right, so.
So the beauty of
it's raining.
Gently.
Oh, yeah. Well, it has been raining like that here.
It goes right down.
Yeah.
And there it goes. Wow, look at that.
Instantly.
Okay, you want to see this?
Now, which is this the third option here?
Ready?
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
One of this.
Okay, so talk about where that stone comes from.
Yeah.
And an open graded subbase.
Oh, that's a lot of stone.
Now, would you put that sand underneath that? Or
that subbase is typical what you would see with a sidewalk.
Yeah, so it's the same with the sidewalk. You do the same thing.
Yeah. So when we started looking at this more and more, asking questions, we heard.
Sit down.
It does require. It has to be brushed. It can't be plowed.
Brushed?
Yeah,
brushed,
we already have provisions for that. We do that already.
They already brushed. That's one of the reasons.
The maintenance, I mean, the warranty on this is very short. There would be some maintenance on your part. And we've heard that it tends to crack easy. Although it's got one of the more flexible resins. It's not the best on the market, so we looked at something that we've used before, and but changed the. We asked somebody to look at a system that we've used before with a stone. So we took Kafka granite stone, this one, and washed it to get the fines out. And imagine this is concrete. If we do that, you have to have a couple of inches of stone, cost, blah, blah, blah. This one is just a thin layer of stone glued down to a piece of concrete or asphalt. It's just different sizes, different colors.
And this is still ADA accessible?
Yeah.
So wheelchair could ride over that?
Yes.
So it's a quarter inch is the tolerance in vertical or horizontal direction. What we've used this for,
we've used this
in a street application. So it started by the highway started using it on ramps.
To give extra grip.
This one I did not. I saw all the other ones. It's new.
What is it like a bicycle rides over this?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not
going to
get a flat tire, brother.
No.
Well, we also...
Nobody's
our bicycle expert.
Oh, yeah. That's my Hitler tire.
I don't want to fix his tire.
You should be walking barefoot in the park.
This comes with a 10-year warranty.
10-year warranty?
Against one.
Oh, wow. That only has one?
Oh,
it's sitting out there on highways
Okay.
With trucks going on.
And
this is used on roads?
Yeah, highways.
Oh.
It's on ramps for cross slopes, so there's grip.
But they're not going to be barefoot.
You mean like this? This?
They're up top in the park. They're not in the beach. They're up top.
Walk down the road.
Yes.
Nobody walks down the road.
Well, you're better off with his brush. But they plow it on the highways.
They do plow it.
That's pretty cool. It looks very natural. So you get that natural look. But it's
this?
Yeah, that's
hard. It's not painful. You wear shoes.
But neither is the park.
The recycled material, which is good.
The brick.
A little bit less rough than some of the other ones.
Yes, accurate. Yeah. So instead of a red brick, we could opt for something like this, a red
crushed
stone.
If you want to go red.
If we want to go red.
Or I keep going with the blue.
You don't want to go red because of the blue.
I would keep going with the blue.
That's why I would do too. We'll pick out the colors later. So don't get caught up on the colors. Don't get caught up on the colors.
You're right. What are we don't know about this. You're right.
Right. Sure. We'll do that.
So you're saying something like this for the front path of the bluff versus concrete to kind of set it aside.
I would put concrete. Well, we need something to stick to. So it can be asphalt or it can be concrete. Okay. I go with concrete.
So some concrete with this on the top.
Yeah.
Versus just plain concrete.
Yes.
For design element.
Right. And then you can make it thick enough so that you can drive on it. Mm-hmm. You get a 10-year warranty. You can get any color you want. You can get recycled glass if you prefer. You're not using this much stone. It's not porous. It doesn't have a side slope, of course. You could use a different color for the ADA narrower path if you wished. Maybe not. But in terms of wanting something organic feeling and
distinctive,
durable,
something
and adding flowers, whatever you want.
Because that path, that path along the bluff is that's the signature path in our entire park system. So this is going to get the most amount of attention. So.
We run the numbers to do this type of thing, whichever finish, you know, mm-hmm. with the stone, with the gravel, with the grid, and ran the numbers to do this over concrete, and they're about the same.
But this has long warranty.
This is about, what did you say?
Yes, that's 10, that's one.
Just to do the treatment was...
That's a 1-year warranty, is it?
Well, and as the product ages, the concrete's not going to break.
Right.
The pebbles are just going to come loose, and we'll be sweeping them up. I mean, we have a lot of the curbs in our older playgrounds are concrete with an aggregate on top of them like that, and they're well into the 20 to 25 year range already without any issues. So, you know, when they talk about a product lifespan, it's not like it's going to be swept up and put in the garbage can at the end of the warranty.
Right. So if I can like just kind of rub it and the stones come apart, it'll be a lot different when it's kind of put in place.
Well, and
so you'll have some of that.
The first time we power broom it, everything that's loose is going to come off. So after it's been power broomed the first few times, you're going to stop having that aggregate coming loose all the time because whatever was loose came off.
Is this the product that you were excited about?
I was excited about all of them, to be honest with you. I mean, I would prefer not to have something that takes weekly or monthly maintenance. I mean, you know, because right now that the product we have, we're maintaining it with a plow and a leaf blower occasionally. So, you know, the products that have to be vacuumed or raked and, you know, watered and compacted, it's hard for me to imagine how something like that would be realistic in a public park. Without a fence around it.
So that one we would eliminate because it's the other one that if you have to go to it every 6 months, it's just unrealistic
nice
for our application.
The most familiar in urban European parks, this kind of material. Mm-hmm. But we have higher requirements for it.
Okay.
And if you want to see something like this in place, we've put it in on Roosevelt Road. and between state and
This does not have a 10-year warranty.
Yeah, that has a 10-year warranty.
This has 10-year warranty.
That has 10-year warranty.
The one
warranty.
There is, you know, that bright.
Those are, these are all 10-year warranties. That right there is one. These they use on roads and...
This.
The difference between the glass and
all
the pebbles, is, I mean, is there any wearing difference?
This is glass.
I don't know if that, is that glass?
Color.
Is this crushed glass?
Yeah, Andrew did say that the glass crushes better.
He likes...
When it fractures.
This is the crushed glass.
It fractures better.
Yeah.
Crushes
better. So it's more uniform.
Oh. So you're obviously not going to want to walk into any of these products barefoot.
Natural variation because
of the
sharp.
Unless you grew up on the farm and you ran over other stuff without problems.
And then you shoot a horse.
Then we shoot a horse. So, you know, got wimpy feet, can't walk on it, but I can walk on it.
Is that for me?
Did the bike path on the sidewalk?
Yeah. Which is
it butterflies?
Is it butterflies?
All right. I'm just going to see it. Oh, and then we put it in on Devon.
Can you just send us the addresses of those, and we can, if people want to go look at it?
Is there a park nearby that has this?
That's what she was just saying.
She's talking about where it is.
Street so far.
Where?
Streets. But not park.
Streets, okay.
Roosevelt Road, and we will send you the address.
Yeah. You send us some address, we can go and...
We did a big emblem in the intersection.
You go and kind of take a little...
Really? Where in Devon? I think it's either California or
Sacramento. Oh, really?
Right. And so, however, we need to change the color scheme.
Yeah, we did it in white. It was getting too dirty.
Okay.
So we
yellows or reds. So City Chicago uses this for the streets.
Yes.
Yeah, and they've used it also on the new red bus lanes downtown.
Okay.
In red. And I think that's glass, too.
Okay.
Excellent.
I don't think... Well, there's one of those right outside my office, but it's, I thought it was, like, painted or something.
The
concrete is integral.
I mean,
the red is integral to the concrete, but I don't know if it's all of them, or some of them have a coating on them as well.
We'll have to find out where.
That'd be helpful.
I appreciate
just to go and take a little side trip somewhere and kind of like, because it's harder to visualize this outdoors, but yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
And for our next magic tree.
I like the porous product, but with the water going through it, but the 1 year warranty, I mean, you know, that's just unrealistic for Chicago in the winter to think. And even if we got 7 years out of it, 8 years, and we were the one, it's not something that we want to come back and tear this park up again in 2 years.
And what happens if you have a kind of a rain and then a fast freeze, then it's just going to...
It pops,
right.
All right. Any other questions besides cost? We'll go
like
that next.
Explore the pros and cons of permeability versus drainage. And what I'm hearing is that the drainage is very important, more in this case than permeability. And that fits really well with my California experience next to the largest landscape in America, where we actually pumped water out of the bluff over the Pacific 24/7 to keep it from sliding. Mm-hmm. So we tried to dewater it, and it was fairly successful.
Yeah. Cool.
All right, any other questions?
So I think we can have a conversation.
Well, do you have any questions? I mean, we can go over cost and everything, but.
So okay, so let me first of all, any questions from Commissioner Brooks?
Many comments.
Sure.
Comments or questions?
Is that fair?
Yes, that's definitely fair.
You didn't get down to the detail level of, say, seating and viewing spaces, so I assume that's a layer that will come later. Okay. I think that the primary decision is tennis courts, no tennis courts, and you know I think everything else kind of flows out of that. So if we could get our head around that and just, you know, come up with something that we're all happy about. moving the trees, which has to be done, I think. It absolutely has to be done. That concerns me a little, but I know Chris is going to make me feel okay about it.
Well, we're not going to be moving trees that are 175 years old.
No. Sapling-ish type.
You know, up to about 3-inch caliper is, you know, safe to be moved for the most part if you go about it in an efficient and professional manner. I mean, do 100% of the trees you transplant survive? I can't promise that, but typically if you know what you're doing and you are out there and you're not a yahoo, you're going to be able to transplant the majority of what you have out there and be able to protect them and preserve the integrity of the root system.
Okay. Before we go on any further, is your next slide the budget?
No.
No, you don't have that?
Slide 4, we have it here.
Do you have other additional copies? Or just one copy?
Okay.
Yeah.
We weren't sure if the
Well, I think it's real. I know I don't want to faint, but I want to be realistic of how much this beautiful design costs. So as you recall, Chris and I, when we first suggested doing the park, we suggested just that front pathway to the tennis court to do the playground, which when you look through the budget, that was about $400,000. So this plan, as it is, as it stands now, both plans, plan A and B, with tennis court, without tennis court, is about $1.5 million.
Yeah.
So I would like to manage your expectations when you're talking and getting excited, right?
With a 25% contingency.
With the 25% contingency. So maybe it's only $1.25 million if we don't go over a contingency. So I wanted to put that out there. You know, so when you're looking at this and going, wow, we love this plan, when you start wrapping your head around do we take out the tennis courts or not? That's one that discussion has to take place. But it also is, do we want to do everything this plan? How are we going to afford it? Carol has some thoughts on that subject. So do I. And, you know, is this possibility of, do we wait to do this park until we do the bluff, which might need a referendum to get that project done? Do we roll it in one? Do you guys have a great donor out there that would, because this is such a great project, is there a donor that may want to donate to this high-profile park that you may know? So those kind of things. Or do you want to say, okay, let's not do this part of the park or whatever? So we just had to put it out there of how much it costs before we go into great discussions. Like, I love this park, I want to do it. It might temper your enthusiasm once you heard the price tag associated with it.
The price tag is
everything.
Everything. That's every little thing.
No tennis courts or tennis courts.
Same price.
Really? Mm-hmm.
So think that we
similar. Okay.
At this stage in the game, that $1.5 million, that's a $300,000 contingency. So think about, with Berlin Field, $1 million project, we went into the construction phase with a $75,000 contingency. So we would expect, as we drew down...
It's still $1.25 million.
Exactly.
Let's not, you know, get all excited about that. It's still $1.25 million. I know.
Well, you know, we're extracting numbers from a very conceptual plan.
Right.
So being conservative.
Right, and be very concerned, which is great, because we want to go over that. I just wanted to put that out there when you look at this so you guys have an idea. Now, they when ultimately we drew this, we said, draw with what the input, the ideas you got from the neighbors and everything. We didn't say stick that $400,000 budget, but you have to know that that's what it is.
Do we have an option for something within the budget?
Within $400,000?
Tennis
court, pathway, and a playground.
A couple of benches.
Yeah. Pretty much a tennis court, a pathway, and a bench, and a playground is what we, you know. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I have to ask the question. Okay.
Certainly. You know, what might be the priority?
That's something
start
we can talk
there
about.
And say, okay, we have got this much money to spend. What can we do for this? And still leave room to
an element of it, yeah.
Now, we could also phase. Right.
Well, that's what she just said.
But
understand the phasing may be 5-10 years down the road because of all the other projects we have, which is our slide after this. So let's finish up with any questions for Altima New. I just wanted to give you that price tag, and because we don't want to keep them as we go through our budget discussion of this. So
a phased approach could be, thinking out loud, the entryways, maybe the four corners could be a phased approach, could be one of the paths doesn't address the issue of the current tennis courts. If we did a phased approach, we'd still have tennis courts that are not really...
Or you take out the tennis courts. Either redo them or take them out.
Take them out.
As a phase.
And if you took them, and if you took those out, would that be something you do in an early phase or a later phase?
I don't think we can leave any of the existing infrastructure with a TBD date on it. I mean, the pathway, the playground, the tennis courts,
those
are
to be addressed immediately.
Within the end of their useful life.
Yeah.
One of the things that you could also phase is the mounding on the reservoir.
Mm-hmm.
It could be just grass.
Just be flat
for a while, yeah.
So if we decided just to do nothing else but just eliminate the tennis courts and put flat grass on it, is that something within the budget?
Again, we have to. We would recommend what we recommended originally is that we have to take care of infrastructure that we already have. So the playground would have to be addressed because it's a wooden playground. Either take it out or put a new playground, do pods like they suggested. That front pathway. We have to do something with that, so that would have to be addressed, and then the tennis court, whether we redo the tennis court or take it out, would have to be. Those are the three that we could do for the $400,000, and that should be addressed in the first phase because they're infrastructure that has to be. We can't leave them up and say, if you go, oh, we want to do the entryway, well, then we're taking out the playground and so, tennis courts falling apart and the pathways falling apart.
So a phase one, if we're thinking of it within the budget, could include a redo of the pathway along the block with some sort of material like this.
I just said.
And we could choose to take out the tennis court and the playground potentially, and we would address the short-term issues of dealing with that infrastructure, and possibly that would be within some sort of a budget.
Correct.
Okay.
And maybe you do one entrance, the one that's going to connect to the new path.
Correct.
To get it started,
mm-hmm. Right.
And do the other ones later. Mm-hmm.
And the entryways and the other things is at a later date. That's possible. If we want, if the goal is to do something now and to stay within the budget.
Right. Right.
Please, I just have a process question.
Sure.
Is your goal to have the commissioners say? This
no,
is exactly
that is no. There's no goal for that today. Right. That takes place in the next. Is it April? I don't have my calendar in front of me.
It's the next meeting.
Not next week. I think it's the April. Hold on a second. 18th. No, that's a board meeting. Yes, we have a pre board meeting. So we'll have another discussion on this park on April 18th.
Okay.
And we could.
And there's potentially not make any decision in that meeting either.
That's
so,
true.
But.
That's true.
I'm just trying to kind of. Think
yep.
In terms of practicalities within the budget. And would we be able to, if we remove the tennis court and the playground, to have some sort of a, some sort of a mound feature, other something?
I think what first you have to do is go, what are your priorities? And then we go back to and look at the documents and talk to Altman and like, this is how much this would cost. So I think really you just have to think about really what you want to do at what phase, and then we can go back and see how much that costs.
Are we at a point that you can discuss that at this meeting, or do we need to kind of come back?
I think you got to percolate that for a little bit, because if we're getting led, we're going to give you a little bit more information to help you make your decision. Any other questions for Altman New?
I see. I don't. Do you have any questions?
I see it as two, maybe three options, right? One is for roughly the original budget,
mm-hmm.
Fix the path that's along the bluff, fix the playground, and either fix or remove the tennis.
Correct. That's one.
Option one.
Yes.
Option two, which I'll say is the other extreme, is essentially redo the whole park with the vision that they've laid out.
Right.
And that's $1.25 million.
And then pretty much do nothing else in our park system for the next 3 years. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or find a donor.
That would have a massive effect on
correct.
The plan and everything else we do. And conceivably, you could say, okay, something in between. Right?
Or nothing. Or nothing. I mean, that's the other thing.
Or nothing in a way so we do the bluff and do something. So, yeah.
Didn't you say you can't really do
well, we would have to do something with the playground probably within the next 2 to 3 years, knowing that we can't guarantee when that playground would fail. So we could potentially, I guess, if we're looking at the bluff and doing that study of the bluff, and say that bluff study comes back for to fix that issue is something beyond our means, and we'd have to go for a referendum to get that fixed. We could roll this park into that referendum. Does that make sense?
And would, I've asked this before, and I still don't know the answer, will the redo or fix of the bluff undermine what we do along
No,
the bluff?
It will not. We asked that.
Okay.
Whatever we do, that's a good question.
We don't want to put new stuff in the garbage.
We're not going to put new stuff in the garbage.
All right. Well, I think.
Can you go and get my slide for the next slide?
Our task
yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Kind of ruminate on this and walk around with this.
It's a lot of information, and we want you to think about it. Yes.
Because this is a little, maybe it's a little bit different from what we were expecting coming into this meeting. So, you know, we have to kind of think.
Yep. That's why we give you time.
Broad perspective.
Do we want to excuse Alta Manu?
Yes. Thank you for coming. Wonderful designs. We appreciate it.
Would you like to keep the samples or would you like us to take them?
You could take them. I think we're good. Thank you.
Do we want the boards? Or do we want to
We don't need these samples. Can we keep this one?
Can we keep the samples of the ones that are in the
We're not worried about the color scheme yet?
No. Just the
feelings.
I can bring them back to their office.
Okay. Just how about keep some of not all of them. Just keep these ones that we're considering.
And can you give us the location of where?
Yeah, you're right.
Some of these are used today.
Yeah, we'll email.
Yes, she's going to email that, and you're going to give us boards. Okay, perfect. And can we have that? Do we have the slideshow?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Perfect. Thank you.
No, I have the jump drive, but I will save it to the
last. Yeah, would you? Because I need to show Steve. And we'll keep these ones.
Okay.
Yeah, just keep those ones. And then he can take those ones back.
Can you leave us one of those blue knee strips?
Sure.
And then I think we take these square ones back, I think.
Right.
Clarification, does that include any moving of trees or anything?
Yeah, it includes everything, yeah.
Relocating some trees at the moment. There
you go.
For the lower thing, or the or I guess when we were
thank you.
So if we
do you're on.
Jump you're
on. It's your turn.
Alright guys, so can we keep going?
I hear, do you have one?
I'm sorry, yes, question.
Do you want to do it now or later or discussion?
Absolutely. No,
hold on, not yet. Thank you.
My understanding, you'd like to make some public comment on the park we shot.
Yeah, he recognized him.
Yes, I see that.
Yeah.
So,
My name is Peter Van Becken. I'm a resident, an architect, and the Preservation Commission, and I'm with the Historic Society. Can you just pause for a moment before you go on?
Oh, sure.
I just wanted to say a couple of words. I sent along a package for commissioners about the historic background of this place. And when I would offer some questions and just a couple of comments. One is I think the spirit of this place is very important when you start to make decisions from configuration pathways to choices of materials and colors. And when you back up a second and think about the spirit of this place, the tennis courts, my understanding is they came about out of an opportunity because of the water system. Prior to that, this was a pretty natural place. So I personally, as a resident, I was very happy to hear about the one idea that takes the tennis courts away, because in my own eyes, that's very much of the spirit of this place. The notion of taking or removing or transplanting some of the trees to make openings in this place is very much about the spirit of this place. So I would just offer that as a comment. When you think about this, it's a lot to think about cost and so on. But ultimately, when you spend this much money, it's going to be judged on what does it look like, and what's the after effect. So arguably, taking away something I heard earlier that looks like a prison, or looks like somehow it's being held in bondage, you wonder what's going on here. Frankly, it's a bit of a scar on the rest of this place. As you well recognize, this is the signature part of this community. You can go six blocks and play tennis, and it would be very interesting to know if you have statistics about usage and so on.
We don't. It's open park.
Regarding the kind of wonderful ideas of the gateways at the corners, I would suggest that there is a material palette already in place that one should look at and think about the color range, and that it's a very natural material. When you come into a natural park like this, you want to be the concrete looks like an urban material in a natural environment. So thinking about materials in the natural palette, to me personally, as an architect, is very appropriate. But I urge caution about some of the ideas of a welcome mat of a different material. When you look at the bluff and the terraces and so on, there is already an established vocabulary. So just keep that in mind.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice comments. Thank you.
Right?
Josh?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Nice job.
Thank you so much.
Nice job.
Very good.
Thank
job.
You.
Thank you.
All right.
So we'll go to the next item.
All right. So
discussion on the Jefferson and Bruman playground.
Yeah, these two things kind of tie in together. So we just wanted to give you something to think about as you're pondering these different parks and the capital projects and things like that. So we want to lay out what our when we had our discussion about the 3-year master plan, and actually we projected even out longer. We know that we have quite a lot of infrastructure improvement to be done. So just to give you an idea, Lakefront Park, we budgeted $410 plus $45 from the ADA fund. So we're really at, you know, $465 for that park. West Playground is at $185. That's our portion plus ADA fund and developer donation funds, which brings it up like $265 or something like that. $275. Right. And then Astor Playground, $225. Looks like we might come in a little lower on that one, so that's good. A take-up parking lot area was $600. Remember that we're still discussing about what we're going to do in that area, but that was what the board approved last time, to look at those two parking areas that we, you know, even though it's not fun to spend money on parking, we definitely needed to keep operations going at this facility. And then the fitness area, again, that's $460. But again, remember the $100,000 is subject to board discussion of additional shower room, so we're really looking at $360 on that one. So based on the figures above, we have approximately $1,440,000 for projects in the future. So that means without adjusting future projects, we will not have enough money to do phase two of our master plan projects or capital projects. We, with all likelihood, will be able to commit more additional funds to Fund 69 from Corfin and Rec funds, but we won't know that until June when the budget's approved.
No, the audit is approved.
The audit's approved. I'm sorry, the audit's approved. So this is really small, and you really need glasses, and I don't know if you guys can adjust that at all, but you've had seen this many times in your capital projects. I don't know. Is there any way you guys make it bigger? Can you guys zoom in for me, techie guys?
I have it if you want me to read it.
Yeah, you can read it.
So, as Lisa just pointed out previous screen, we're just starting with year one, okay? So our master plan.
Can you zoom in on the computer, not move it out?
It could have been identified.
On the PDF?
No, it's a PowerPoint.
Oh, okay, sorry. Are you sure? I was able to.
On the bottom right, bottom right, which is 67%.
Yeah, you'll get it. There you go. Okay, so.
There you go, thank you. And you can just, yeah.
Okay, so.
No, go out the other way.
To left.
Go left. Thanks.
To the left. Perfect.
Okay, perfect. There you go. Thank you.
Okay,
maybe
so
go up a little bit.
So you're saying 1 year of projects. We have definitely have the money to do it, but at the end of this year, if we finish everything that we've budgeted, spend what we say we're going to budget. We only have $1,040,000. Now, you look to year two, we're already $200,000 short of our year two projects, which means that year three projects, year four projects, year five projects are gone. Fund 69 money is not money that we get every year like our Fund 65 projects. If Fund 65, we get $500,000 to do our routine fleet,
things to this building,
this building,
air conditioning, watts,
computer systems, soft roofs,
to keep this place looking new.
So Fund 69 projects, the money is not
finite.
As I always say, I'm not printing it in the back room. It is what it is, and yes, while we have a 50% guideline in our fund balances, and it looks good, and I've continued to say since we've discussed the budget, it looks good, I can't really guarantee until the audit gets completed and the audit is done to say, hey, you know what, we might have another $700,000 to transfer and commit to Fund 69 projects. Well, even that, we'd have enough to do year two, but then year three, we're still going to be short. And I think eventually when you're looking at, the bluff, as Lisa said, maybe it's something with Lakefront Park, you roll it in all one and do a referendum if you really want it to be exactly like they showed tonight.
Right. That's so, probably the only way we'd get something within the next 10 years to look like what they showed.
So,
does that make sense?
Yes.
So we also look at year two. Now, there is some wiggle room in year two. For example, the skate park. We took that out last year. We haven't got a lot of calls. That doesn't mean once summer hits and people start coming, because they assume we took it down and we're going to replace it and they're going to see it's not, that amount could go down. Maybe we're looking at something out of Canada to bring and recommend to you that we could be moved on and off the Watts skate park. That may be half the cost, so that's like 150. So there's wiggle room in some of those, but not, we're not developing huge amounts. So before we get on to that, I want to bring on to the next one as we talk about our other playgrounds. So is this, can you move it back down? Okay. So we just want to make note. I have had a lot of interest in Jefferson and Vernon, rightly so. It's a very well-used park, and probably of all the parks, no one hates, us included, to see a park go down unexpectedly. Unfortunately, Chris and I are in the bad position of having a lot of wood playgrounds in this park district, probably more than any other park district. Perdomo says has wood playgrounds. We are guesstimating when these playgrounds will fail, because we know they will. The projected life of these, when they were put in, and they're always projected, they said they would last, maybe 20 years. And really, the reality for our weather conditions, and it could change from site to site, depending on how much drainage is there, how much shade, water, things like that. So we said it, when we're doing the capital, that we have seven remaining wood playgrounds, and we're kind of looking at our best guess when they'll fail. Jefferson and Vernon really shocked us, because that is one of the third newest ones. So we expected that to be at the end of the five. But we want to make it very clear that we have seven wood playgrounds. So at any one time, unless we went through and replaced all these wood playgrounds, we may be taking out playgrounds and not replacing them immediately.
Right.
So I want to make that very clear, because I've got a lot of calls saying, well, aren't you going to replace it now? We really have to get used to the fact that we may not be able to. So those are all of our wood playgrounds. We just wanted to show you our inventory. Just like our tennis courts, we have a lot of playgrounds compared to the average. So we have 14 total playgrounds, so 12 with the park district, 2 with the school. So we have access, our residents have access to 1.62 playgrounds per 1,000 residents. So the state of Illinois average is 0.4 playgrounds per 1,000 residents. So that means whenever this was designed, they would just put playgrounds. For example, some history we found, the Milton Playground off of Dundee,
sure.
That playground was actually taken from Takeoff here when they were doing renovations, and they're like, oh, it's still good, let's put it at this place. Wasn't really planned out. Now those neighbors are used to that playground. It was never really intended to be there. Now when it fails, mm-hmm. We're going to have to, what are we going to do? We're going to replace it, So I just wanted to make you aware of that. So the Playgrounds existing and replaced are in blue. The wood playgrounds are in red. So it kind of gives you an idea. And here's a bigger image of that.
So we know that when these parks were laid out in the 50s and 60s, playgrounds weren't costing $200,000 and $300,000.
Right.
So, I mean, the industry has changed. Liability has changed. I mean,
the surfacing has changed. You used to be able to just put something in and put some chips. Or nothing and grass.
A lot of park districts in that time period were actually manufacturing their own playgrounds. Yeah. That was very common.
Sure.
This time, 2017, we just can't do that.
And if, for example, at Jefferson and Vernon, someone said, a gentleman I talked to, he goes, well, can't you just fix it? Well, we can't just fix it. We can't just have our guys go in and put wood down on the playgrounds because all of a sudden the liability shifts from the playground manufacturer right to us. And Poderma, rightly, won't let us do that. They will not put us in that legal position because, we could really get sued because we're just throwing wood in there. They might have done that 20 years ago. I won't let that happen now. I won't let them put the park district in that position.
Even 10 years ago.
Yeah. Maybe even 6 years ago.
So if something were to happen, that manufacturer would come right back and say, well, that's not our park.
Yes.
That playground
we
is
did
not
do that.
We did not do that. So really, the days of going over to Home Depot and buying a few new boards and throwing them in there, they're just over for a park district like us.
Yes.
And I was here when Friends Park collapsed. I mean,
you were.
And that was a real shocker. And the major piece of equipment just kind of fell and collapsed. It was awkward. And it took us a good year, or maybe a little bit more, to kind of get it right. To get it right, to get community input.
Mm-hmm. To talk about it.
We had a lot of people say, hey, how come you just can't open it up? We said, look, we got other parks, and we steered people to other parks, and we lasted a year and a half, and mm-hmm. when it opened, it was really the right thing to do.
Right.
Because it's now a lot better park than it was than when it was,
yes, and that's really, so what we've done is, obviously, we've taken down the major piece equipment that failed. We still have the swings, benches, sprung toys. The park is reopened, so we put a fence around it, put a sign up, and that's how we got the call, so which is good, because we're letting people know where to find us, and we can explain the situation to them, which has been really helpful. I just want to remind you again, we cannot predict. I tell you this each time, so that way you all know that. Chris gets really worried because he goes, anyplace else, I'd be fired if a playground failed.
Absolutely.
No, because we don't live in that world. But we know that we can't replace these, unless the board wants us to replace them all right away so they never have a downtime. We had so many playgrounds. That's why I told people, the playground that failed on Vernon and Jefferson, there's three playgrounds within a 10-minute walk, I said. Half mile within a 10-minute walk. So there's places to play. They're just so used to having it right there. So some things I want to... So this is really... I do want to answer because I am getting questions about this. So I looked at... We're going to give you four options. So... As we talked about, we'll discuss replacement for fiscal year 2018-19. So what that means is that we start talking in June, we'll talk about, what we want to do there, what kind of budget we want to do for that playground, and then we would begin planning in fall, bid out in the winter months, and then have everything ready to go. So as soon as everything dries out, which is in this town, who knows when, we would be able to activate the construction and get it in within a two week time frame, and we're off and running. We could discuss replacement immediately, but then we would have to put something off. The thing we would have to put off is Lakefront, because West is already out. Astor's already out to bid. The fitness is already up and running. The lakefront is, and the parking lot we need for the fitness, so really Lakefront Park is the one we'd have to put off. We could discuss replacing it immediately and do a budget adjustment and add it to this year's budget. I just want you to know it's not as easy as you think. Like, oh, we'll just add it. That would take about 10 hours of Carol's time. We'd have to do, budget and appropriation hearings and things like that, which,
we
go through the whole legal cycle again, mm-hmm. filing things downtown and everything. Of course, we could do it if that's what you want. And then we could discuss, do you want to replace the playground? I don't know if I would advocate for this one because this seems like a very heavily used park. We do not have one at Watts right now, so this is the closest one to that big playground.
To the school.
So
the school has your playground.
The school has a playground.
So there's a playground there.
Yes.
Okay.
The school has it, yeah, it's a...
The school has a playground.
Yeah.
And it's relative.
There's not one. So that's a, but that's an option you could think about. So I guess I need direction. And you could say, wait, we're just going to hold off this discussion until we do the capital discussion in June. We're going to hold this as an idea, but we're going to discuss replacement in 2018-19. And that's the direction I give to people when they call me. So I've been got a lot of calls. And occurred to me that really I gave that recommendation, but the board committee never said, yeah, that's what we wanted to do.
Can I ask you a quick question?
You sure can.
It's a failing playground question. Didn't this one fail after the one on Woodlawn and Green Bay? I thought that one, we talked about that one first.
Because that we thought it was going to fail?
Or that I thought it... We had to
Which one, Woodlawn?
You know.
Yeah, so we based our replacement schedule that we initially talked about with the board based on the age of the equipment. Yeah. So Astor is our oldest playground right now. Lakefront Park is our second oldest wooden playground right now. So we looked at a number of things. Like, for example, next year in the three-year matrix, we had Woodlawn and we had Old Elm. And that was based mostly on site conditions and drainage. So Old Elm in particular is a site where it looks good above the ground, but below the ground is where it's not good, much as we had at Shelton Park.
Yes.
Where above the ground it looked good, below the ground it didn't. Woodlawn, was it Woodlawn next year? Was that was
That's
that the
2 years
one?
Off.
Is that 2 years off? There was Old Elm and then one to be named, I believe.
So, we didn't name it. Yeah, we just said wood playgrounds every year.
I heard Lisa Shepherd say something interesting, which is that it would be helpful to get board direction around, do we have to replace all these playgrounds, or maybe there's some that we don't need to replace. Woodlawn, for example, and I'm not saying yes or no, but Woodlawn is not too far from Hubbard Woods Park, and the people, that, you know, I've heard folks that live in that southeast corner of Glencoe, they're playground, if they want to go to a featured playground, they'll go to the Hubbard Woods Playground in Winnetka Park District, which is brand new, and it's spent they spent what $2 million on it.
That's still far
so we
down.
May
it's still far
decide,
down. It's like right here.
It's right there. We may look at this thing and say, do we need to replace Woodlawn? Maybe not. Do we need to replace Milton? I don't know. You know, are there other ones? Maybe they have a constituency, but we don't have. We don't necessarily have to replace every single playground.
We don't. So what you look at is you look at the matrix of where everything is, and you make sure that each quadrant is adequately served in your district. So, for example, I would never recommend to take out Old Elm because that's the only part, and that's smaller homes and smaller kids. Right. So you really need to take up. We have to have because it is our early childhood playground, really, for that. Lincoln Crescent is kind of close to here. You could say we don't need lakefronts. We have the beach. We have Friends in Middletown. We have Central School. We have Shelton. Jeffins Vernon actually is one of those that doesn't have to be replaced. Look at all these big parks that are within walking distance. And maybe Woodlawn is one of our biggest ones. People might have an issue with that. That's one of our, we were thinking of that as an ADA playground on this side of town.
I'm not sure.
Because we don't have one on that side of town.
So Stephanie's not here, I would point out that I'm probably the closest to having actually used these parks.
Stephanie would be one that...
And Woodlawn was our...
Is your park, right?
Park.
Yeah, I would have a hard time taking that one out, to be honest with you.
I would just say that... I'm not advocating for Woodlawn in particular. I'm just saying any of these parks, people move to Glencoe when their kids are 2 years old. And
right.
They choose the neighborhoods because... So you're not going to get away with saying, oh, we're going to take this out and have nobody say that's
no.
the worst thing ever.
I mean, that's a hard thing for...
But
that's why, that's what you guys have a hard job doing, is that unfortunately sometimes you have to make those hard decisions.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying which way. I think you're right. We should discuss that during our cap... It's not a discussion for tonight, but during our capital projects, that would be a great discussion to have. And you're right. If Stephanie has young kids, Josh has young kids, so you could get the feeling. Or we might say, this is what Glencoe's used to with these parks, and that will be definitely a board decision to say. Or we might say, okay, it's okay to take it out for a while and then come back to it later on.
Yeah, right. And that's what we said about the playground at Lakefront Park, is there's discussion maybe we don't need it because we have something right downstairs there. Yeah.
Right. I really like their ideas, those little play pods. Those
were
great.
We did eliminate the 2-5 playground that was behind the Watts Ice Rink, and we did eliminate a few other play pods throughout the community. Mm-hmm. I mean, much to Lisa's point, we're going to, even if we are hypothetically able to replace 2 playgrounds a year for the next 4 years, we're going to absolutely be right back in this position in 18 years, where we're going to have a 14 playground inventory that's all within 5 years at the end of its life.
Yeah. And like Friends Park, believe it or not, because of the use of this playground, we are going to have to see replacing equipment and improvements, my guess would be within 6 years, if not before.
No doubt.
Because
not the whole thing, but.
Not the whole thing, but not like the big structure, but some of the smaller components.
The safety surface.
The safety surface and things like that. Because of the high use, that park has tremendous use compared to any other park district I've ever seen. It's amazing because of the location downtown, close to, you know, the coffee shops and stuff. But yeah, so that's a discussion. So, you know, I know that's a bigger discussion to have. I just want to know what direction you would like to go for Jefferson and Vernon, since that just.
So let me just quickly poll people here. We'll start in with Commissioner Brooks. We'll go this way. And then
we'll flip those choices up on the.
I'm sorry. All right, let me find those.
You could.
Sure can.
You know, discuss replacement for 2018 is the one that jumped out on me. I do not replace is probably a very bad idea right now. I don't see that it makes any. You know, something else that isn't that you didn't bring up is the concentration of projects we currently have. If we did choose to wedge it in now,
yeah.
We've got a project manager who's, you know, up to his eyeballs in projects that we want him to concentrate on.
Right. That is a big, I'm going to draw that next to.
You know, this wasn't for lack of planning, it was a surprise, and it's not like the entire playground's getting wiped away, just a couple, you know, some of the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just think that it makes sense to hold off and discuss it for a future project.
Thank you. Commissioner Plotnick.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It, you know, while I understand the residents who live right by that park and appreciate their disappointment, but in the day, if we're going to, when we replace the park, we want to do it right and do it first class, and really, you're talking about it would add 6 months. That's all we're talking about.
Yes, really, that's it.
6 months.
Yeah.
So,
through the winter.
I mean, it's really
it's
only a plausible option, I think, up there.
Yeah.
Bullet two, it's a non-starter. The Lakefront Park affects the entire Glencoe community, so we're not going to hold off on a project that affects the whole community versus a small neighborhood. And I, having worked closely with Carol for a while, I mean, bullet three is just a nightmare. There's so many unknowns. You go through the whole process and it doesn't work.
And
it's going to take time and there's legal issues. Mm-hmm. So I fully agree with Lisa Brooks here.
Thank you, Commissioner Underdon.
I too would like to go with discussing the replacement as part of a larger plan for the parks. That happens to be not too far from my house. And
sure.
When my grandkids come over, there are some options for us to go to some other parks. Not that I'm happy about it, but I can certainly level with it and certainly understand that we should look at things in a larger perspective. And, you know, just going through the bidding and the construction process would probably be in the September or October anyway.
It would be, yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you. Can you put the map back on? I just want one other thing to add. So I would concur with my three commissioners on the right. I think that this actually is a park that gets a lot of use. I've seen it a lot of use. It's on a corner of the community where there tends to be a lot of young families that live down in that quadrant of Glencoe. I think, you know, even though it seems close to Shelton, it's really a different neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's really the southwest side that the train tracks. And
it is, but it's awfully close to Shelton now that I'm looking at that.
But you have Green Bay Road,
yeah,
and
that's like the Grand Canyon and Shelton.
I know it sounds weird.
Shelton,
but if you're driving your bike, yeah.
Shelton tends to gravitate to folks in southeast. This is really your park for southwest Glencoe. The South School playground is, I wouldn't
small,
consider
compact.
That. And the Central
it's
School playground is
like,
those schools aren't that, it's new, but.
South School is new. It's
no.
Good.
No,
okay.
Isn't
no.
It?
Central
no.
School is newer.
Yeah.
South School's playground, I'm not throwing shade, but South
yeah.
School's playground is at the end of its.
Yeah.
I thought we did something.
It's not. And the Central School playground.
He didn't just say not to throw shade.
Hey, it's 8:10, and I am totally hopped up on cold medicine right
and,
now. So.
And the 8:10 and the Central School playground. I think the Jefferson Vernon playground is something that we may want to think about as another, you know. I don't want to say signature park, but a park you put emphasis in. You make it different from Shelton, and you make it different from Friends.
Well,
it's a pocket
but
park.
I want to be
let's
very clear. I want to be very clear. It's a pocket park. We're talking $215,000. We're not making this into a big anything. It would just be a little standard piece of
the. The only difference between this and Astor is this park has a drinking fountain.
Yeah.
I mean, budget wise.
And we
can
talk about whether we want to keep
it.
So that's my perspective. The other thing is. I looked through the whole central of the Friends Park thing, and it's tough to be able to say, hey, it's going to take us a year, year and a half to do this thing. But I think, you know, every time we've done that, the outcome turned out to be right. We had a lot of time to deliberate and think about it, plan for it, get community input, and that's what I would recommend here as well. Put it in, you know, consider it for next year. So what I'm going to direct staff to do is to... go back to your very first consider discussing replacement through 2018-2019 cycle.
Perfect.
And leave it at that.
All right, perfect. All right, so that's all we have. We had left you with a lot to think about for Lakefront Park. We just got the designs. I just got these cost estimates an hour before the meeting, and I fainted. I said, wait till the board sees us. But It's good. It's beautiful. Both options are beautiful. This is exactly the creative touch we were looking for in this park. This would set us apart when we do this design, and just how we're going to do this design will be a great discussion. So that's all we have for this meeting. Give time to think about it. We do have a meeting next Thursday that's totally on the fitness area. So we will be selecting equipment, we'll be presenting equipment pieces that we want to purchase, and then also have some preliminary drawings on the remodeling of the Aiken activity room and the bathroom at that time. So that's what next Thursday is.
Excited about that. And then immediately after that, when that meeting's concluded, there's a Lakefront Advisory meeting.
There is,
for
yes.
For those of you who would like to stay, we have a Lakefront Advisory Committee.
Yeah,
today.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Is there other business or other comments right now? All right, well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. A lot to think about. And we'll all go walking around and come up with our ideas. And I'm looking forward to the discussion on the 18th on Lakefront Park. Thank you very much.
Any motion to adjourn?
Anything else? Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
A second. All right.
Okay.
Unanimous
aye.
Consent. There are no.
Okay. It has to be Lisa. Thing, Lisa and you, because the other ones aren't. It's you that seconded because they're not members officially.
Okay, so 1-2, we're done. Yes.
Yes, that's true.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, we're done.